Dirt and Sprague.
Empty backfield, Atkinson to throw, fires near the goal line, caught by Legree, breaks a tackle, and turns it in! Touchdown, Beavers!
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
And back to throw. Dante steps up, wants to go down. Got it downfield. Moore. DeCorian sidesteps a play of 30. He might be able to make it. He's at the 10. He will make it to the end zone. DeCorian Moore with a little move on by. I'm going to keep going.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
What is happening?
It's good to be in on this September of 8th.
Yes, it is, Bob. It's back, baby. We made it.
And it's Tuesday. It is not Monday.
No, don't listen to the tweet last night or read the tweet last night.
It's okay to get confused, but a nice little three-day weekend. Did you labor very hard yesterday?
I actually did labor relatively hard yesterday.
So I did.
I got some stuff done.
I got a lot of stuff done.
Like, dude, a free day off is not a normal thing. I'm working weekends now on top of it. I got a kid coming in a couple of weeks. Like, my time to get projects done is ramping to a close relatively quickly. So I finished cutting down a tree yesterday. I felt like a lumberjack.
Ah, it feels so good cutting a tree down. Did you do hand? You did the hand?
Oh, handsaw, yeah. Dude. I mean, I'm going to need a chainsaw for the rest of the stump, but all the branches, the rest of it, cut it all down by hand. Felt like a man yesterday. Felt good.
So when I built my fence a couple weeks ago, I had to cut a tree down, and I've always wanted to because it gets shaded. It's a half-dead tree anyway.
Yeah, you want to get it out of there.
So I got it out of there. So I have a stump, too. I'm not going to be chainsawing it.
Ooh, what are you going to do?
You drill holes all throughout the top of the stump,
okay.
And they actually have stump.
Like a stump
chemical
eater?
That kills it.
Ah.
And then it literally, it's so dead that you can just pull it out.
This is news to me. I had no idea.
Yeah.
Let me know how this works.
I will. Everybody swears by it.
You drill the holes in the top, put the stuff in the stump.
Let the chemicals kill it for however long it takes, and then you just rip it out.
Okay, that sounds pretty easy.
I'll let you know. Report back.
That's a lot easier than getting a chainsaw down along the ground.
Because
even doing the chainsaw down along the ground, you're still going to, I mean, how
far
down?
There's too many roots, too.
Right? There's too many roots. Yeah. You're not digging the whole thing out. There's like a little half inch that sticks up. Somebody's tripping on that stump.
Well,
it's not going to be good.
We had so many days of wet weather that I was like, you know, it's a day off. I have a putting mat that's pretty massive. My mom found online from super rich people in Camas.
Ooh, hey, hello.
So I have that, and I cleared a lot of space. So now in my garage, I got the workout, and then right next to it, a putting green.
They're two for two.
And so I started winterizing everything. I started putting things away, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to worry about this in a month and a half.
No.
I'm just going to get it done now. I'm not going to do anything in the backyard.
I want to be out here watching football all fall, and I don't want to be out here every time and saying,
exactly.
Man, why didn't I clean out the garage when I had the chance to clean out the garage? Remember Labor Day when I got nothing done? I had an opportunity to do it right there. Now, the goal is you got to hit 10 putts coming in, coming out every day.
I hit 3 this morning.
Okay. You got to give yourself a little quota there. That's how you take the golf game to the next level.
Well, they're good. They're like, you know, it's legitimately 9 to 10 foot putts.
Exactly.
That we're putting here.
That's exactly the range you got to practice. You're not hitting 30 footers. Those aren't going in. But you can roll a few more 9-10 footers in. That handicap's going to start going down.
But it was a delightful little day off. We had a little football yesterday. It took forever, but we got some football yesterday.
Ended up late, man. That was a late night. Reminded me of like a Tuesday night Peacock Blazer game. I'm like, what time's this game going to end? You kept you all the way till the end, too.
I'm like 60% convinced Mike Norvell had something to do with the power outage, knowing his team was ultimately going to lose that football
knowing
game.
Ashton Daniels is his quarterback and they're not going to throw it. We're just going to go unplug the lights for a little
knowing
bit.
Knowing his defense kind of sucks.
Dude, I'm honestly surprised that that doesn't happen more often.
The power going out?
Like, just a random thing. Like, these are old stadiums, and I'm sure that they do a lot to, like, maintain them in the offseason, but I've walked around, like, parts of Autzen, and you're looking around, like, this is what's holding it up?
Right.
It's like the Moda Center. We do that all the time. You walk around the bowels of the Moda Center, you're like, I'm surprised something doesn't go awry more often.
Well, that's something they're trying to update is they have diesel generators.
Right, we need some new generators
down there.
They're
trying to have a different power source than just a bunch of diesel.
Power's out, man. You got to go figure it out. Yeah. You got to plug this thing in. I always love picturing, too, the guy behind the scenes, whoever's job that is, of like just the panic that's going through their head.
Dude, it was like 10, 15 minutes before kickoff.
Don't worry. We got about, I don't know, 5 million people ready to watch this game.
It happened right as they were doing the coin toss.
Well, I saw them come out, and
then
the lights started going out slowly.
Yeah. They said they had completed the coin toss, and then the lights went out.
The whole crowd's going, oh, everybody's getting into it.
Dark.
Like, yeah, oh, there it goes.
And then they were like, Did somebody just bump the switch? Are they coming back on?
Turn them back on.
You and think then it's as like, simple as a switch, huh?
Jiggle the handle. Jiggle the handle. It's like the Christmas vacation. Did we have the right flip up when we were trying to turn our lights on here?
Well, I was more thinking about they said they went to the backup generator and then that failed. And I thought, how many or how big is that generator in a football stadium?
Do we need a backup generator for the backup generator now? Is that our next step?
No, transformer. They said it was a backup transformer.
Transformer. Right. Okay. Optimus Prime gave out last night. What are we going to do, man?
It absolutely did.
Autobots, no lights tonight.
I would ask this. I had about a 15, call it 20. I took the kiddos to get ice cream cone as the end of summer kind of symbolism thing. So I didn't catch like 20 minutes of the game. But from what I saw from when I watched left and then came back and watched the end, I didn't see anything controversial happen where they didn't have replay.
No.
Not
it
to
ended
start.
Up being seamless.
There was one penalty I saw with too many men on the field for SMU.
Yeah, they had a miscommunication who was in the huddle.
But, like, they didn't have – they had a working clock on hand on the field. Like, there was a lot of old school stuff, and I was like, I didn't see anything get interrupted in terms of missing something.
And then at some point in the game, I can't remember when,
they got coming back as the game went on.
Yeah, and you got communication in the helmet back as the game went on. I will say the aesthetic of it was kind of cool. It felt like, because all the lights weren't on.
It was a little dimmed in the crowd.
It felt like watching like a high school game.
It felt like Madison Square Garden basketball.
Yeah, where it's like there's just a little light dim. It's not fully bright. It felt like a historic game. It was kind of fun to go through.
Yeah.
I had no issue with it. And then it ended up being the timing of it was actually better for me. Those 5 o'clock starts are always tough because they end right as like I'm trying to put Teddy down. Mm-hmm. And so it's that weird of like, all right, I'm in one room and the other room, like looking at this. So the timing of it couldn't have been better. Put him down at halftime and then got to watch the entire second half uninterrupted. It was great.
It was my wife was like asking every day because she knew football like was really back, and she's like, "What games do you have?" And like I'd have to like remind myself, and so I told her the Sunday schedule, and then she goes, "Do you have a game today?" And I was like, "Yes,
yes."
She goes, "Who?" And I go, "Great question." So I open the app and I go, "Oh, that's right, SMU Florida State.
This is an ACC showdown, honey.
Right. It's not one we're going to talk a whole lot about, other than that Mike Norvell really sucks, and I've known that for 3 years, but everybody's catching up to me, and that's okay." But I told her and then ended up getting super delayed and worked out perfectly.
It was funny, too. I shouldn't say never. I can't remember the last time witnessing a crowd go back and forth between the cheering and the booing.
Yeah, they're trying
of the home
to cheer on the players, and there's a game.
They
and
hate their coach.
They hate
they
their coach.
They hate him.
There was the pick that they got late in the game, and you're like, oh, damn, Florida State might actually do this.
The one in the end zone?
No, the one after that.
Oh, the
second
ball,
pick, yeah. And then they came out and ran the ball on first and second down and went nowhere, and the crowd started
booing. Who calls their plays?
Yeah. I don't know.
I know they ended up with, 24 points? But I'm routinely watching this game going, who was calling plays? How awful a play call.
Oh, that looked like high school offense. It's just RPO. And then the quarterback would ride the running back so long.
Yeah.
That he would take them right into the linebackers for SMU.
It was terrible.
I think Norvell calls the plays.
I do,
too. Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's bad.
Yeah.
His 4th-and-2 back pitch play, I'm like, that's the easiest thing for them to stop.
They hired Gus Malzahn to do it last year, and then I think Gus Malzahn moved on. I don't think he's there anymore.
Is he an OC somewhere else?
I don't know.
They hired Tony White from Nebraska, and then he looked terrible.
Yeah.
Without those 4 turnovers, they should have lost that game by 40.
They were a +4 in the turnover category, and they lost the game. He was just at Florida State last year. I don't think he's coaching this year. Maybe he retired. I'm not sure.
There's not a more obvious thing, in my opinion. I don't know about your guys's. I know
it's a
how
matter
much.
Of when,
yeah,
not if.
Come on.
What are we waiting for here?
Like, I'm just legitimately asking. He had the 1 year.
Yes.
Now, I still maintain he should have made the playoff, but I understand everybody's opinion on that. What has he done?
Nada.
Outside of that, nothing.
They're legitimately, they showed the stat on the graphic
they have the
before.
Worst.
Remember, they're 3-14 in the last 2 seasons in ACC play.
It's one
3-14. They're Florida State.
It's one thing to be underwhelming and be like, damn, you went 8-4 again this year? All right, that's kind of disappointing. Yeah,
that's what Clemson's doing, and Dabo's on his last legs.
Yeah, he had a 10-win season the year before they went to the, or should have gone to the playoff in that argument year. They won the Cheez-It Bowl. They were 9-3, won the Cheez-It Bowl to go 10 wins. Every other year, other than that, he was 3-6, 5-7, had the 2 good years, and then it's been 2-10 and 5-7. And then you look at their schedule,
too. His great year is an outlier.
Oh, their schedule's awful.
Their schedule's brutal, dude.
They play
Alabama's their next game on the road in Tuscaloosa.
And they lost that game last year. Yeah. Keelan Russell looked pretty good.
Yep.
I think a little can of you-know-what is coming their way this weekend.
A little can of we owe you one in Tuscaloosa coming to you in 2 weeks. And when that happens, if it's similar to like the LSU-Clemson game from Saturday night, which would not shock me in the least because Florida State literally can't throw the football.
You're going to ask more questions. DeBoer has to show the film. He's like, just hold on to the ball, guys.
Just don't turn it over.
Don't
you'll be
give
all right.
it to him.
Yeah. Stuff the box because they can't throw it. And
dare him to throw.
See you later.
Cornerbacks.
here's a good question. Norvell's fired before Dabo, right?
Yes.
Should be.
Yes.
Should be. Yeah.
He should be.
Yeah.
Should be.
I agree.
I don't know what the particulars financial-wise and buyouts and all that stuff. I mean, that's...
It's going to cost him a lot of money.
Hello,
to fire.
Private equity. Yeah. How are you?
Exactly.
Come on down.
Get those things in order.
I mean, talk about that. That is, we've had some bad ones. We get bad ones every year, and we tend to forget about some of them. That's one of the worst primetime games
ever.
Ever on my television.
Even when they threw the pick on the opening drive, there was a moment of like, uh-oh, he threw a pick right out of the gate. And then they held into a field goal and then scored a touchdown. You're like, no, all right, this one's over.
I was wondering.
I bet the under and LSU hit the over by themselves.
I bet Clemson plus the 10.5. They lost by 40. I didn't know what was worse, my Clemson pick or Oklahoma State Tulsa over, and it was like, what was it, 24 to 10?
Was that the final?
24-10?
Yeah.
Oklahoma State is terrible.
They were terrible.
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 That North Texas thing ain't traveling right now.
That game, too, all of a sudden got a little less interesting. That was one in week going into the season. Hey, Oklahoma State might be a feisty little team this year. Now, it is a lot of new players. It's game one, so who knows where the year goes, but... To only score 10 points and have your quarterback under siege against Tulsa, it's a bit of a problem in week one.
It's not a good sign.
Bit of a problem.
Not a good sign. But football is back in our lives. And somehow, through the weekend of everything, and we'll get to a lot of the local stuff today because we were off yesterday. It was great to have a day off. I weirdly thought baseball kind of crept into my news feed a lot more on a football weekend than I anticipated.
It's baseball in your news feed this weekend?
Well, why don't
you guys are playing the Phillies, I know
well,
that.
Well, yeah, Bravos were playing an important series.
I saw the end of the first game because I was waiting for the damn football game to start. Like, can we end this thing already? Well, let's go. Let's get to the Apple Cup. It's 1 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, that was a good game.
It was fine. Yeah, come on.
It was fine.
Get it out of here.
We're in a division race right now. We're trying to hold off the Phillies.
Call me in October. It's not October
Acuna
yet.
Acuna got called out by Zach Wheeler. And it's like, dude, all right. And then he ties the game up, and then we end up winning the game.
Yeah, it was a nice little moment for you.
It wasn't my Bravos. It was Wear Your Hat Right guy.
Yeah.
Did you see the story?
Oh, I did see Wear Your Hat Right guy.
Umpire?
I did see
Doug
that.
Eddings.
Oh, you should be fired.
You should
he
be fired
should
for
be
that.
Fired.
Your hat is slightly tilted one way, which is like a cool way to wear a hat. Like, what do you care?
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous.
I love that St. Louis's manager called him out.
He got tossed for it.
He apologized, too, in the next day, didn't he? Didn't Eddings apologize?
He was mandated to.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was his own thing.
That's an all-time bad moment for an umpire.
And then the entire team coming out the dugout the next day with all
and
of
the
their
Rockies
hats
had
tilted.
A lot of the Rockies, too.
What are we doing, man?
It would have been really funny if both teams came out hats backwards, like completely like...
What are you going to do?
Challenge this.
What do you do? Is there a rule in place that says you can't wear your hat backwards?
There's nothing specific regarding hats.
Yeah, you can wear your hat however you want to wear your hat. There's nothing to do. What are we talking about, man?
But that weirdly popped up into my feed more than I anticipated. Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, baseball's creeping into my football. What's happening?
Nothing worse than the, and every sport deals with this to a certain extent. Baseball, it does feel like a massive problem where you get umpires who want to become the story. And they put themselves front and center.
They have this
ego complex.
Weird ownership of the game complex.
We're not here to watch you, man. We're here to watch that guy who has his hat crooked, okay? You're here calling balls and strikes. Let's get out of the way.
Well, let me ask you this then. Like, this is always a weird way to phrase it. If I removed our local interests of fandom.
Yes.
Right?
So our team's out of the picture.
There's obviously a lot to talk about with your team.
Yeah.
Obviously to talk about with Oregon State and Washington and Washington State with the Apple Cup on Sunday.
Nobody's giving us a chance now.
Well, are the two biggest things from college football from the weekend are what? Because one of them is definitely a clock decision.
That is without a doubt number one.
Yes, that is number one.
Not even a debatable thing. Number one is Western Michigan, Michigan. Number two,
you could debate: is it
what
how
angle you
good
want
LSU looked? Is it
Dabo Swinney being dead?
I mean, like, Clemson's dead.
Not that that's a surprise, but that was like, oh my God. That
Miami may have taken a step forward. I don't know Stanford, but like that, yeah. Mensah looks really stinking
Mensah,
good.
Mensah, Malachi, it Tony, that combination.
Tony's going to try to win the Biletnikoff this year. And
it was fun to do that one for Sprague in the line and then read in the bullpen after the show that like half of Stanford's offense wasn't going to play in the game.
Well,
that's cool.
I still think they would have handled them the way
they still would have won the game, yeah.
But it also might be the power outage. We had an hour and a half delay of a power outage.
Well, and then you had a two-hour storm delay for the LSU Clemson game.
Yeah, the delays were it. I think it depends on – it's hard to project, like, where we're going to go from here. If Clemson truly has a horrific season, we might look back at that moment and say – that was the end of Dabo Swinney at Clemson. And that becomes a massive storyline.
I think we should be asking that out loud now.
I just, you know, do they win 9 games because they're in the ACC and they miss a couple of teams? Like, I'm not predicting it in any way, shape, or form. I'm just, you got to give it the ability of, like, we don't know where the season's going to go from here. Same thing goes with LSU. Like, if LSU goes on to win a national championship this year, we'll be like, damn, that was the night we all woke up and realized that LSU was the real deal. We just have a hard time in week one parceling through, is Clemson just ass?
We got
LSU
settle down.
Really good.
There's a lot of settle down after week one. Like, yeah, exactly. Don't run to conclusions.
This is
on
just
anything.
A chapter. It's not the book, right? We haven't finished the book yet. Exactly. But the first chapter tells me that Clemson's the worst team in college football and LSU looks unbeatable. But chapter two might tell me a very different story. And so time will tell on all that. There is unquestionably, though, a number one story from the weekend that was one of the most controversial things we've ever seen in the sport of college football. And then a wide gap to whatever number two was.
You can fill in the blank. It's probably your fandom, whatever that aligns with. Yes. And that's probably what your number two is.
Yes.
But I thought it was really interesting. I had missed the start of LSU Clemson because I could not keep track anymore when that game was kicking off.
Yeah.
And it finally does. Clemson gets the interception. I see the highlight. They have the football. And I should have known this. I didn't look it up. The minute I knew they were absolutely cooked was when I saw this next quarterback. What's his name?
Chris Vezina.
The fact that he chose to wear Cade Klubnik's number two.
No, that's the other guy.
Oh, okay.
That was the backup that came up later in the game. Yeah, he wore number
two. When I saw another number two on the field, I'm like, that's not going to hit. I mean, this game's over.
Two is not. You got to pick a new number, buddy.
When did that cat come in?
Third quarter?
He came in second half,
I think. Was it the third quarter?
I think it was third quarter.
God, they were so bad that I'm mixing up when I saw him versus when I saw their first possession after an interception because they gave us nothing.
His name is Tate. Tate Reynolds came in the game. Yeah, he was 4-6 for 22 yards. Chris Vezina was 10 of 16 for 80 yards and a pick.
Yeah.
Just horrific, horrific quarterback
play. I will go on to give you a hot take. Clemson ain't winning 9 games.
I tend to agree with you.
I know
there,
LSU's
Bob.
Good. They might be the national champions. That Clemson team's terrible.
It is very unique when you look at their history, and I don't. When you say stuff like this, it ends up becoming a diss to the coach or a, you know, trying to take away from what he accomplished.
Right.
There is a similar to the Florida State stuff, right? Like there is a with Brent Venables record and a without Brent Venables record at Clemson. That is pretty eye opening. From the start, it wasn't great. Venables came in, go on this long historic run. Venable leaves, and it is the last couple of years have been very ugly.
Here it is, boys. Halloween night at Doak Walker, Clemson at Florida State. Who is coaching both teams?
Oh, I'm still going
to
say
they're not going to fire Dabo in the middle of
the season. I don't think they'll fire Norvell yet. I think they'll wait to like the last week of the season as the swan song of like, all right, we're restarting this now. Find a new guy. Get the big, you know, head cheese, whoever that is out there. I was almost wondering, would Rhett Lashley take that job?
He seems like he's pretty set at SMU, but never say never.
If they found all the Dallas boosters in SMU, I wouldn't necessarily think Florida State's a better game.
But here's the tough part, though. Like, it's tough with the money thing. Like, does Florida State have more money to spend on the roster than SMU?
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know that, though. We don't. None of it's public.
Historically speaking, SMU's had a lot of money to spend over the years, and they appear to have a much better roster, which tells me that they're like. Look at the quarterback situation. Florida State got Ashton Daniels. Ashton Daniels has sucked forever. He's bounced around forever. Like that was your plan at quarterback. There were guys in the portal that were available.
Well, they probably whiffed on the bids with the other guys.
Yes, and then you panic by. You spent a lot of money at wide receiver. They got nice pieces on their roster. They can't throw the football. It's unbelievable.
It's definitely a weekend of good weekend for some losers out there. Western Michigan.
Yeah.
Yes.
Louisville looks really good, man. Yep. That was a great comeback for them in the fourth quarter down 14. And
that was a really fun game.
Yeah, if they could have started the game about midway through the second quarter.
Boise State?
Boise State's a great loser.
They could be at the end. So the AP rankings come out at 11 a.m. this morning with the first one after.
They should be ranked in the top 25.
I think they'll be at the back.
You could argue my team. Good loser.
Good loser
Slow
this
start,
weekend.
But good loser.
We'll Washington State.
We'll
good
see
loser.
If Western
good loser.
Michigan. We'll see. I wonder if the outcome of the Michigan-Western Michigan game will actually penalize Michigan more and they
it should
fall all the way out.
It should. It absolutely should.
T-minus how many – you talk about Norvell and Dabo. T-minus how many quarters Underwood has until he's replaced. Yes. You cannot play him.
That was one of the funniest
– horrendous.
We're all guilty of it at times watching football when you react to something early in the game. I didn't see their opening drive live. We were cooking dinner, so I can't remember exactly what we were doing. But I missed the I walked in and turned the game
on.
Wasn't
it like 9 plays, 75 yards?
They went
right
down the field.
I saw it
was fine. I didn't think it was as great as
no,
what people are making it
but
out
to because I missed it. And so I'm just reading through social media, and everybody's like, oh, Newton and 2.0 Underwood. And I'm like, damn, he must have looked really good. And then you look up in the third quarter, like, they haven't scored again.
He barely did anything after the drive.
He haven't done anything since then, man.
So a loaded weekend of football. We're back after laboring on a Labor Day. It's good to be with everybody. We got a loaded show today. Let's start with a little local flavor. Let's touch on things in the 6 a.m. hour. We got a busy show today. We're going to touch on the Western Michigan-Michigan game with a guest at 7:27, and we'll dive fully into what happened in Eugene and in Houston along with the Apple Cup. Dirt and Sprague, let's get it going next Tuesday edition on 105.1 The Fan.
Yeah, here we go.
Accidentally did that during commercial break.
Got me going, I'm not going to lie. I think it boosted the ad a little bit too.
Dude, the NFL's back tomorrow.
The NFL's back tomorrow. What? It's a Wednesday. What?
Is it tomorrow or is it Thursday
or is it
Tuesday?
What day is
Monday,
it right now?
Isn't
we'll
it?
Ask Kyle Shanahan that later.
Let's install our game plan. But what day of the week is it? Well, to be fair to Kyle Shanahan, I'm not in Australia, and I also forgot what day it was last night, so we're in lockstep there.
It took me about a day and a half, 2 days in Vietnam to, like, wrap my brain around the fact that I was ahead of everybody here by a day.
You're in tomorrow.
Like, I've shared it before. Watching Monday Night Football Tuesday morning is...
That's a weird one.
But it's live for you, but it's Tuesday for me.
Yes.
It's a weird feeling.
That is very strange. Although, I would not be upset about Tuesday morning football.
I was very happy about it.
If I'm not working,
breakfast
you're on vacation.
Tuesday football. Like, what are we doing?
Having a breakfast beer and watching some Monday Night Football. Let's go.
I don't know what's going to be said today throughout the show. I think we're going to be pretty level-headed,
how
sadly.
No, my season's over, dude. It's done.
Season's over?
Pack it up. Go home. Fire landing.
There is one website publication claiming your season is over, and we'll get to that today.
Oh, we're burying them today. I love it.
Oh, we're burying them.
Oh, somebody brought a fork out week two?
I don't really understand why you would do this, because we've seen... You know, a lot of programs have a little bit of a struggle, but win week one and be totally fine. This program being the example.
Oregon's never done that. When we struggle in week one, we usually don't go to a bowl game, right? Oh, wait, no.
Under Dan Lanning, the history is not great. I don't know emotionally where we're going to be by the end of the show. It's a weird day for me. I have a high schooler today. And that's an odd feeling for me.
Eighth grade graduation didn't hit you, but going to high school is going to get you.
Eighth graduation.
No, I know. I'm not saying it's a big deal. I'm saying
we do the bare minimum.
The whole
point
fail
middle school.
Of why it's a big deal is this.
It's just
that's why it's a big deal. You now have a high schooler.
I'm not like
it's not the accomplishment that matters.
It's not the sadness. It's just more like a weird feeling.
Yeah, you're gonna have a driver soon.
I'm going to be the one that's going to have to drive with her in a parking lot.
Get in that passenger seat. Let's go, kiddo.
Already asking me about a car. I'm like,
so
yo,
you got? Are
yo,
you
calm down? Calm down.
You going to pick her up, or are we taking buses? We walk in. What's the situation?
Oh, good question.
She'd probably prefer taking bus.
Yeah.
Or she might walk. I mean, we're really like right next to the high school.
Oh, that's pretty close. Then that's
really
not bad.
Convenient.
Yeah, if you could walk to and from school, that's probably the best way to do it.
She'll probably bus because she's not going to want to walk in pants. But
right,
it was just odd leaving the house today. Of like, oh my gosh,
oh my
she's
god,
in middle or she's in high school. Now.
That is insane. That's crazy to think about.
I'm old.
You are an old bag, man.
I'm washed, man. It's over for me.
It's almost done.
It is a mail sack Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
Mail sack.
So it's going to be a real like we're going to weave as much into today's program.
I'm surprised you actually got to baseball. I was like,
well, I mean, got to baseball.
I was thinking about saying, you know, should we take 2 minutes? You guys put the timer on me and I'll try to rattle off as
everything
much
that happened
while called the segment while you were watching football.
I had no other than the half thing. That's all I saw in the end of the Braves Phillies game because I was waiting for the start of the Apple Cup.
I saw Trinity Rodman at the U.S. Open.
Oh,
yeah.
That was great.
Good for you.
She and Ben Shelton are going to have the most athletic kids. Like, when they're born, whatever sport they want to play, I'm giving them a scholarship and an NIL deal right there.
The day they're born.
I did get interrupted. You speak of baseball. I did get the news alert. All rise. The judge is back.
That's right.
And all I thought was,
no one cares.
No.
He interrupted my football with his dumb fake home run record a couple of years ago. I don't care that he's back from
no,
his little
Red
injury.
Sox are close to tracking him down for the wild card.
Jaden Lamar's out here breaking his arm on a play and walking off, and Aaron Judge's like, oh, my leg kind of hurts. We're in the second place ALS team, AL East team. Like, okay, cool.
Good Wake me you. Up when the playoffs start, man. Yeah, are we no there kid. Yet? It's no almost kid. There. It's
now
almost
you got about
time.
20 games to go.
20 games to go.
Let's get to things that actually matter, that people care about. The Oregon Ducks and the Oregon State Beavers.
Hey, look at that.
Kicked off their season this weekend.
What fan base feels better today?
Oh.
I think the Ducks do.
You Hold think on. So?
You think so? I had a few people reaching out like, you and Dirk better be changing your tune. And I'm like, I have a bet on their over with somebody in my office.
Who's on Oregon State or Oregon?
Oregon State.
Changing our tune.
And I thought, Dirk,
wait,
like,
whoa.
Aggressively defended whoa. Oregon State.
Do not rope me into this. I sold you on the Jerry Rice Award winner. How's it feel to have that now?
Yeah,
huh?
You did.
Pretty
yeah.
damn good,
oh,
doesn't
feels
it?
Feels good.
That kid was slinging the rock on Saturday against those Cougars.
Everybody's like, ooh, Dante threw over his career high. And I'm like, that's a Braden Atkins and Saturday.
That's an easy breezy 300 plus yards right there, man.
I think you're underestimating Oregon State fan base having a close loss on the road against a ranked team. I think Oregon fan, I think
Oregon fan is
whew, but I think Oregon fan is level-headed going.
They're level-headed yeah. going. A lot of the issues were their own doing and can be like this could be the worst week of practice for players, especially on the defensive side of the football.
With you.
Going through that film session, there it's.
But go look at the numbers. So this
I feel
is the
bad
weird thing
for
about
Oklahoma
that game.
State on Saturday.
Those numbers, it's such an odd game.
It's one of the weirdest games.
If
I've
just
watched.
Showed you the box score, you'd go, "Oh, Oregon comfortably won." And I'd be like, "No, it actually went deep into the fourth quarter.
It was a one score game."
And DeCorey Moore had an amazing play to get the go ahead touchdown. Not quite the case.
No.
This box score. And so it's a weird thing, but also Oregon fan literally went through this 2 years ago.
Yeah, we've seen this movie before.
So, like, we underestimated Boise. Hand up. I'm there. I took Oregon to cover.
I did too.
But Oregon's also – I think Oregon fan is saying, don't schedule them anymore. We're done.
I've been saying that for 10 years.
Good little program over there.
Stop playing them.
But also, we did this 2 years ago. Dante looked amazing. Our offense finally woke up and couldn't be stopped. And then the second half, the defense kind of woke up at the end.
Yeah, look, there's idiots amongst us in every fan base. There's no doubt. Like, people want to fire Drew Merringer online when a game like that happens. So those people are always going to exist. It is one of the weirdest Oregon games I've ever watched for that exact reason. That if you just show me the box score, I'd tell you Oregon wins the game going away. And I've never had a game where it's really weird. Like, I rewatch every Oregon game, and part of it's just because you're running around in the middle of the game sometimes, or sometimes I'm there, like, this weekend, so you don't see everything.
No doubt.
Like, the kick-catch interference, I'm, like, screaming from my seat, like, how is that not a penalty?
Yes. Okay, so I
and then they didn't show
that.
A replay in the stadium, and
well,
I'm, like,
didn't.
Freaking out, like, how
yeah, really?
Are we not going to talk that, about there was I'm, like, 50
play,
yards away
yeah.
from that. He made contact with him. Like, I'm screaming. And they didn't show a replay, so it pissed me off. So I go back to watch stuff like that to be like, oh, okay, Steratore came on and said, yeah, there probably should have been a flag. Thanks, Tips.
Yeah.
So I rewatch every game. I've never had a game where rewatching it, I felt better after the live game than that one on Saturday. Like, the feelings that you have watching the game in the middle of it, like, what the hell's going on? I'm muttering under my breath. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. How's it 17-7 in the first half? We're down by 10. Like, what? Just happening right
you need
now.
A touchdown
like,
at the
what
end of
is
half?
Going? And then you go back and rewatch. I've never had a game where my feelings changed more drastically in the rewatch than it did in the original live watch.
I don't know if it's happened, and I couldn't remember. Is this the first game Lanning's just come out with shades?
That's a good question.
He got absolutely toasted, by the way. His face was so yeah. red in the postgame.
I mean, dude, that side of the stadium, the sun's just beaming on him.
That's how surprised he was
yeah.
wearing nothing.
And he had no visor,
shades.
No hat, no. right?
He's never done the hat thing. I know that. The shades, it's a good question. I can't remember another game of him
I've
having
seen
shades
him no hat, no anything.
Yeah.
I've never seen the shades, nothing else.
I think I've seen, I want to say I've seen the shades, but...
It's the right call. If you're not going to wear a hat, you got to do that.
Because
if you're not, you're squinting the entire game.
No doubt about it. I just kind of was curious about that little note, even though it's not really that important. But I thought he made a good point in the, I think it was the end of first quarter going into the second, you know, these dumb coach interviews we get.
Right, quarter interview.
And, you know, it was also hard for me. I wrote notes down for Oregon State's game.
Right.
Like little things I wanted to bring up. And then I was doing this for Oregon's game, and I'm like, How are they? They're winning, and yet this is a weird one. There's some notes. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
This is very confusing.
And I think Lanning summed it up well, because I didn't rewatch the whole game, but I rewatched the first half. And it just, I mean, I think personally, I think it's as simple as, yeah, we can get to the defense. But also, they just controlled the ball almost the whole first quarter.
First quarter, that opening drive ate up half of the first
time
quarter
possession
of the game.
Was so in their favor, and it's like, well, Oregon didn't really got the rock, and then when they did,
then you got stopped on fourth down, you hand it right back to them, so you don't get into a rhythm.
Right, right.
And it also, like, it's funny, in the moment where you get a fumbled punt, which should have been kick catch interference. Yes.
It's a weird one to say quickly.
That's a tough one. And look, I'm not going to say like officiating's officiating, right? Oregon got away. Nazir Wyatt hit Madsen in the head with his club at the end of the game, and they easily could have called that, right? Officiating is officiating. But that moment of the game, I mean, it is a 7-7 game. You fumble the punt. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, they score a touchdown on the next play, and it's 14-7.
Some just broken tackles on that play, too.
And then from that moment on in the game, Oregon outscored them 27-13.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, halfway through the second quarter or whatever time frame that was. Because if you call that penalty the way it should have been called, Oregon's got the ball in plus territory in a 7-7 game. I don't know if they score there or not, but if they do, they're up. Like that's a 14-point swing, potentially, in the first half of a game. Not to mention the fact that the next points for Boise in the first half came off one of the dumbest penalties I've ever seen in my entire life. Everybody, on 4th and 6 in your own territory, what's the quarterback trying to do?
He'd draw you offside.
Was that Bear?
No, it was Amari Washington.
Oh, Amari.
Who could have been a first-round pick. Yeah. Came back for another year of seasoning. And we're jumping on that? We're jumping off sides on that?
Bear got a personal foul on one of the
after a PAT, They great call on the onside kick, by the way. That was an underrated play of the game.
It was.
Boise came at him with the smoke onside kick, and that dude somehow held on to that ball. I don't know how he did. So it was a funky game in that regard. But that's why I thought I put up a poll question. What fan base feels the best and what fan base feels the worst of the four Northwest schools?
Well, we joke about it. I mean, by the way, Evan Stewart, punt watch. Is officially on. I mean,
he was very rusty.
I mean, even with the interference one, and I was I was going back and forth with a diehard Duck fan buddy of mine, because I text him when Wyatt hit the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I'm not asking this because it was Oregon. I've been wondering this for a while, but I was like, dude, should we let guys with clubs play?
No, they're a weapon. We should not.
It does seem like a little bit of a weapon. He got hit in the arms, so he's got a stinger now.
Dude, he hit him right in the elbow.
He got hit in the head with it. I was like, how is that not a penalty?
Those should absolutely be illegal.
And my buddy was like, well, there was interference on the punt earlier. And I was like, oh, he's in football mode now. I can tell with his text.
Don't you come at me like that.
Because it's the only sports team he cares about at all. And so I was wondering about that. But
He also had one where he caught it on the 3-yard line.
Yeah.
He caught it on that one. Yeah. Like, fair catch on the 3-yard line.
That was his first one.
That was, I believe the first one.
And then the next one was no interference. And then later in the second,
he dropped one in the fourth quarter to nearly hand them a chance to tie the game. But thankfully, he fell on it.
Lanning said he still trusts Evan Stewart a lot. And we'll see what happens going forward. But, like, you can't say you're not nervous the next time there's a big punt.
He had a pretty rusty game. He had a moment early. Their first drive, they ended up, I think, or maybe the second drive they scored on, he had a play where he should have scored a touchdown. And if he just runs to the pylon, he probably does.
Yeah.
But instead, he tried to cut back and break the tackle, and the guy got a shoestring.
He hasn't played football in a year.
Since December of 2024 is the last time he played a football game. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt there. But yes, I think everything's up in the air about punt return right now.
McClellan ended up being just an amazing. I mean, he might be. He's in the running. I don't think he is their best receiver, but man, he's a really good
go-to. Well, if all the attention goes to the other two speedsters, he's going to have wide open either underneath, or he's going to get a nickelback or a safety on him.
That's a good point, and I don't mean this as a disrespect to Evan Stewart. I think he'll shake the rust off and still be great.
Mm-hmm.
I think DeCorian is their best receiver, but also I don't have the all-22, so I don't know how much attention is diverted to a DeCorian or an Evan versus I kind of want to just give McClellan his credit and say he's a great route runner. He's got good hands. He's trustworthy. Like, I don't know how much of that, you know, percentage pie we're doing today with McClellan, but I thought he was stellar, and I don't know how much of that is the attention to Moore and Stewart versus just McClellan getting open and doing it himself.
It was one of the biggest positives of the game. A lot of negatives and a lot of things to clean up. One of the biggest positives, we talked about this last week going in, I want your elite units to be elite. Their defensive line certainly was not that for the entirety of the game. They had moments where they took over, and
that
was great
to see. It was the most shocking takeaway for me in their game.
No doubt about it. And then you look at the end of the game, and they gave up less than 3 yards per carry. So again, to the point of the game watching and the box score kind of confusing your brain of like, this is weird, because it felt like they got pushed around, but they gave up 2.9 yards per carry.
It wasn't a pushed around for me. I this is one of my notes. It just was like, it was the lack of presence I felt watching the game with them. They made some big plays, obviously. They didn't give up a lot of big runs.
Late in the game when they knew Boise State was passing, they took over the game because they knew it, and they had no problem getting to the quarterback.
But it was from the get. I clearly underestimated Boise versus Oregon going in. I raised my hand on that. Boise had debatably the best loss of any team in college football this weekend. But also, I just expected that line specifically of like, we're all bypassing the NFL to do this again.
Right.
Instantly just wreck things. And it kind of wasn't the case. Madsen got his legs going a little bit.
He scrambled around and made some plays.
He was able to sling it a little bit. Like, I was a little shocked of how not impactful they were from the start.
Yeah, it was a weird game in that regard. The positive was the wide receiver room we asked to be a lead, and Oregon has one of the best in the country. No like, I don't know how you plan to stop them. McClellan had 6 catches for 150, Moore had 6 catches for 93, and Stewart had 8 catches for 72. And oh, by the way, your first round tight end had a hell of a touchdown catch right before half. And so that being a positional strength of Oregon with their quarterback back was easily the biggest positive of the game. They're going to be tough to stop all year.
We'll get to the other side of it. Oregon State goes to Houston, and a bit of a slow start. Talk about slow starts. Oregon State was slow starts this weekend. They also turned it up. They didn't win. Oregon got the win. Oregon State, though, got one of those like classic, hey, good loss. Good little loss for them. So we'll talk about that a little bit before we open up the cafe at 7 a.m. Dirt and Sprague back with more on 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back. 6:46. We got the cafe set to open coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get back into Oregon stuff at the end of the second hour into the 8 a.m. as they struggle a little bit there with Boise and get the one-score win against the Broncos over the weekend. Dirt down there. Good news, real quick. We'll get to Oregon State here in just a second. Happy for Teddy Ballgame. I actually had some listeners reach out when they were behind saying, I hate to say this, but this kid is lifetime banned if they lose this game.
Oh, he would have been gone forever. Get him out of here. You're not going back, dude. No. If you go 0 for 2, it's it. I'm not willing to risk 0 for 3.
You stay at home with grandma and grandpa.
Yeah, you're not. We'll get a babysitter, buddy. Mommy and daddy are going to go have a good time.
0 for 2 with a G6 loss is one of the two.
Inexcusable.
It's also hurt
Indiana, understandable. That's a national champion. Boise, no, we're not living through that one, man. That ain't happening.
We're going to talk today. We like to be a little out and be unique in this regard. So one of the big stories from the college football weekend, probably the biggest one outside of our bubble, was the end of the Western Michigan-Michigan game. The 1 second, no 1 second. Is there a second? How do we calculate a second? Why is there two different clocks?
There's a secret clock over here. I'm not going to show you it. You don't know what it is during the game. Don't you worry. We got a secret clock, and I promise you there's 1 second left on the clock.
We have Robin Hook, the play-by-play man for Western Michigan football.
His call was, I heard it on Saturday night, and it's like, oh, my God, I feel so bad for you.
I don't know if you could have convinced me in any way that we'd be talking to the play-by-play man of Western Michigan on Friday's program come Tuesday.
Who do you think we're going to go to for a guest on Monday? Play-by-play guy for
Tuesday.
God, I don't even know what day. Where am I? Australia?
It's okay. I called the AL East ALS. So we're off to great starts here.
Rip roaring.
Oregon State goes on the road. Bit of a slow start. Didn't matter, though. It was only 9-7 at the end of the first quarter. In the second quarter, they struggled a little bit more. They were down 19-7 at the end of the first half at Houston. Better second half showing, though. And Oregon State ended up losing to the Houston Cougars 33-20. One of those like feel-good losses because a lot of questions coming out of Oregon State fall camp. The coach, I thought multiple times, was kind of telling us himself, hey, man, you're going to need to root for us even when we're down. He called yesterday in his press conference, he called this a foundational year, which to me still isn't screaming somebody that's confident they're going to win 8-plus games.
No, it's going to be tough to get there.
I think he's being honest about their thing, but better second half showing for them. Atkinson, the Mercer transfer, was 29-48 for 376 and a touchdown. The rushing game was absolutely abysmal, and I know a lot of that is taking into the minus 31 yards from Atkinson.
Yeah.
On
and also
stuff.
You're down by 20 points in the second half, so you're going to throw the ball a little bit more.
But even in the first half, like, A.J. Newberry was getting most of their care. Like, their run game was not going to do anything against Houston, so their offensive line struggled.
Yeah.
The receivers were kind of the spotlight as Jesse Legree ended up being the lead receiver there with 5 catches, 136 yards.
He was awesome, man.
He was awesome. And they end up putting together a respectable performance on the road at Houston, making Oregon State fan, I think, feel a lot better about what their season potentially could be.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is what I tried to argue a couple of weeks ago. You got to come out and be feisty in game one. Don't roll over and die and get killed. And there was a moment there probably in the third quarter where you thought, oh, this thing's starting to leak towards the blowout territory. And to their credit, this is one of the things we asked for. Like, how are you going to look different this year than last year? And one of the things that I thought Trent Bray's team did occasionally was roll over and die in bad games. They didn't roll over and die. And all of a sudden you look up and you're like, it is 26-20 in the fourth quarter. We're a stop away from getting the ball back and having a chance to take the lead. Now, their defense couldn't come up with that stop. Houston ended up, to be fair, like that last touchdown too, when they chucked it up, that was great defense by the corner. He was in the right spot. The guy just jumped over and made a hell of a play, and you're down around the red zone. They ended up scoring a touchdown there. So I think you're encouraged by the fight. You're encouraged by them continuing to play until the end of the game. They almost gave themselves a chance, kind of in a reverse of the game between the two teams last year, where Houston or Oregon State led the entire time, and then Houston came back late. But the biggest thing that you were looking for from this game was, did you find an answer at the most important position? And it's funny because we talked about two guys at the state schools going into their weekend, making their first start, both of them FCS transfers. And we've seen FCS transfers that have worked, and we've seen FCS transfers that have flopped. And at Washington State, they got a guy who I don't think can complete a pass. And at Oregon State, you had a guy throw for 376 yards against a ranked opponent on the road. Now, I don't know how good Houston's defense is going to be at the end of the season, and time will tell on all of this. But from what I saw, he was under pressure. I thought he handled it well. He ran a touchdown in. He's not known for running around a lot, but he did have a scramble touchdown. He threw some nice deep balls. He converted some huge third downs to kind of keep some drives alive. Incredibly impressed with Atkinson. Mm-hmm. And I go back to my season preview of just thinking, look, next week's probably going to be rough too, man. Texas Tech's got a damn good defense. I don't know how to feel about your offensive line. The Boise State game.
I don't feel great about
it. You shouldn't feel great. The Boise State game, it's probably not going to go your way. I'm not feeling great about that one. Everybody else on your schedule, I'm not picking you to win all those games. I'm not saying you're guaranteed to go 9-3. There's no reason you can't be competitive in those games, especially if you're going to get quarterback play like that. And so I know it's a moral victory, and fans are probably tired of that. But based on the way the quarterback played, I'd feel pretty solid after week one.
Secondary questions. I thought the offensive line was pretty bad, but to your credit, I don't know how good or bad Houston is. I said it during the week, and I'm not really overly impressed with Houston, but I'll, to be fair to them, wait to see what Big 12 play is going to be. Your run game, you can be feisty. Your quarterback can be good. If you can't run the football,
you're going to have to find balance
at some
point.
A lot more teams than just Houston and Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I think.
But how many fronts are you going to play that have the, and this is the tough question, how many fronts have Houston's front?
Well, that's why I'm trying to be a little fair on it. I think what I would say there, in seeing some of what, I watched a little bit of the San Diego State-Portland State game. They ended up blowing out the Vikings. Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit of the Colorado State stuff. Looking around just their conference.
Fresno State looks beatable.
Fresno State was terrible. Texas Tech got bludgeoned by Texas, or Texas State got bludgeoned by Texas. I kind of put Boise on a pedestal, and then I kind of think everything else is a question mark, or I don't know the answers to stuff yet, and Oregon State is definitely in that group, even though they lost the game.
Hey, jumbled up together, man. There were some positives, and there's some big question marks, and time will tell where you can grow and improve, but having a quarterback is going to make things a lot easier. A lot of those weaknesses we're talking about, if you have those and you're not efficient throwing the football, that's the thing that I'm impressed by. I didn't think offensive line standpoint, they played great. Your quarterback threw for 376 yards.
And he stood in there and took some shots.
He stood in there and took shots. He was delivering the ball and, under pressure. That is a major encouraging thing.
The funny thing is they showed his photo during the game on the television, and the wife's on goes, "Who's that?" I was like, "Oh, that's their quarterback." And he simultaneously looks 40 years old and 18 years old.
He's got a weird face that way.
His haircut paired with his face, it's he kind of looks like an old young guy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I also loved in the – because I was watching this game and we were doing the pregame show and it was on.
Yeah.
And I think the pregame show ended midway through the third quarter, and then we're heading over to get into the stadium, so I'll catch up later. Going back on the DVR to discover that they took the game off of ESPN.
Yeah, after
that was fun.
A key moment in the game.
Wait, where did the game? How do I watch this now?
They wanted to show Texas warming up for Texas State.
What are we doing?
Just completely. I had a text swag because I missed the announcement of them taking
it
off.
Well, they had an extra delay at halftime for a Lightning.
Yes.
So they started like 20 minutes later.
So I text Swag, what channel did they move the game? Because my YouTube TV doesn't update when they move things like that.
It'll say some of the programming's on that channel.
Yeah, they set it.
He goes, ESPN News. I'm like, what?
Yeah, the announcer said it going to a break. We're going to move over to ESPN News. And I happened to catch it. Yeah. I was sitting there.
So I had to go watch the highlights, find highlights on YouTube some other way because my DVR just got cut off. We switched over to Texas with 9 minutes to go.
We'll have more on Oregon State as they went on the road. We'll get back into Oregon at the end of the second hour as well. And we'll talk about the Western Michigan 1 second, no 1 second dilemma that happened in Ann Arbor, ended up in heartbreak fashion for Western Michigan with their play-by-play guy. But we kick off hour two. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague opens next on The Fan.